Up next, encounters with Beastmen, an incredible story with Linda Godfrey on Coast to Coast AM. Linda Godfrey is one of the most respected authorities on anomalous animals and paranormal phenomenon in the country and in Wisconsin specifically. As a journalist, she was the first to break the story of a terrifying werewolf-like monstrosity lurking in the shadow-shrouded forests surrounding Elkhorn, Wisconsin's Bray Road. Godfrey has continued to pursue her interest in the unknown and has even gone on to investigate an array of unusual animals lurking in her home state. Here she is, back on Coast to Coast. Linda, you're back by popular demand, you know. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm great, thanks, and just happy to be here.
I had an open line call a couple weeks ago from people who are saying, we need to find out more about this werewolf in Wisconsin. So only you could do this for us. How have you been?
I've been really well, thanks. Had a little bout a couple years ago with some cancer, but I'm past that now.
Good
and
for you.
Back at things full tilt.
Stay positive. It works, doesn't it?
It does. That is the best medicine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My sister had a little problem, and she is well on her way to recovery. And
good for her.
It's all, you know, get it early and stay positive.
Yeah.
And, you know, combine modern medicine with, I think, alternative medicine.
Yeah.
It's a great mixture.
Yes, that's exactly my philosophy. You just put it in a nutshell.
Yeah. Bray Road. Tell me about Bray Road, first of all, regardless of the beast. What's Bray Road?
Well, Bray Road is not all that much to look at. People who see it for the first time are usually a little surprised because they're expecting this wilderness or at least this spooky dark lane, and it's really a fairly open little minor road between Elkhorn, and it's kind of a shortcut to the hospital just on the outskirts of town between Elkhorn and Burlington, lined with farms, old family farms that have been there for a long time, cornfields. You'll see cows wandering around once in a while. You know, it's really not anything that seems that spooky or scary. So people are always wondering why why this road, and I'm one of them. I'm still not exactly sure, but it has that distinction of being the place where the first flap of reported sightings occurred that I was able to publicize in the Walworth County Week newspaper, and that went national and then international within a matter of weeks, much to my and my editor's surprise back then. But as you know, George, it's really a phenomena that goes beyond Wisconsin.
It's all over the place, I think.
Yes, and it goes back in time, back to early in this decade, maybe earlier beyond that. And of course, the legend of things that look like werewolves, you know, has been timeless almost.
There is a creature running around that was captured on a film, which I guess now is called, what, the Gable film?
That's the title, right, the original one.
Was that originally in Wisconsin or Michigan? I know, I mean, and you're really close to each other.
Yes, we are, yeah. And I've also explored all of Michigan. I wrote two books, one for the Barnes & Noble series, A Weird Michigan, and then a follow-up for Trails Books, Strange Michigan, and I've been in that area. This was supposed to have occurred in Antrim County, which is in the lower peninsula part of Michigan, up kind of on the northwest corner. Very wild territory. And this was also, perhaps not coincidentally, the site of the first alleged dogman legends that seemed to grip the state of Michigan from about 1987 on.
Now, tell me about Dogman. What is it?
As far as I can tell, it's the same exact thing as the Beast of Bray Road and the same creature that's been reported all over the rest of the United States, Canada, and other parts of the world.
And when you say same creature, it may be many creatures of the same, right?
Many creatures of the same type, and it almost has to be for the reason that it's so widespread and people have seen multiples of them at the same time. And generally, they are described as something between 5 and 7 feet tall with a head that is almost always described as either a German Shepherd type or timber wolf, one or the other, covered with fur, either brown or gray. The fur colors range in the same amount that you would expect any subspecies of timber wolf. You know, you have that same range of colors. And the thing is, they're virtually indistinguishable from a really large wolf or dog-wolf hybrid, except for their behavior. Their behavior is that they are seen running and walking and sometimes leaping on their hind legs just as easily as they run on four legs.
Whenever they want, I guess.
They go back and forth. Many, many witnesses, it's very, very frequent that people will either see it at first on four legs and then it rises up onto two and runs off, or vice versa. So it can do either one. And it also uses its forelimbs then in a way that you don't usually see canines doing. It will be oftentimes seen carrying roadkill or chunks of meat or something like that. One witness who passed the polygraph test saw several of them drinking from a stream using its forepaws as a human would use its hands to dip the water up to its snout.
Like a little cup.
Exactly. That's right.
The creature, now the one I've seen on the Gable film, looks almost ape-like in the distance. And then as it gets a little closer, it's pretty blurry stuff.
Right.
It then begins to take this dogman shape.
Sort of. You know, the thing is, there's so much controversy about the Gable film. So many people have invested just hours and hours. And I know Steve Cook, who runs the Michigan Dogman site and who started the legend, put together a professional team that just went over this thing inch by inch, you know, frame by frame, and could never prove it or disprove it. And then we had someone come forward with something that really looks obviously related called the Gable Film 2, for lack of a better term, which appears to show the same person in the first film, now mutilated, only half of it remaining. It's this really...
Like it was captured or something?
No, it's as if the animal had eaten half of the person who was taking that first film. It's really horrendous.
Huh.
Yeah, and this was posted on YouTube by someone who said that they saw me on the Sean Hannity show a couple weeks ago, along with the Gable film that was shown, and it jogged their memory, and they had this canister of film that their Uncle John had shot back in the 70s for the Michigan State DNR, and it was allegedly a bear attack death, and it shows a Michigan DNR officer pointing to the same truck that is shown in the first Gable film, same make and model, and the same camera that's used in the first Gable film is shown, it's Bell and Hall 8mm, shown lying on the ground, and then they lift back this tarp, and you see this horrible grisly sight of the torso and head and arm of the same human that appears to be in the first film lying there with, you know, kind of gristle. It's really a disgusting sight. And this was posted with this little note on YouTube, and someone has just like half an hour ago told me that the person has pulled that now from YouTube, although you can find it on other sites yet. But both this person and Steve Cook had been asking the poster to come forward. And from what he's told this other website, he's remaining anonymous, he's evidently had some legal advice. So, you know, the question remains whether or not one or both of these were a hoax.
Right.
But whether or not they are, I still have to say, you can't really prove that it's the dog man. Because it's so blurry, and B, it doesn't really act like the beast or the dog man acts. There's a really consistent MO that this creature has. And George, I've studied this for 17 years. I have hundreds of reports from around the U.S. and the world, and they do vary in some ways. Really, the creature almost always acts the same way. It may make a little bluff attack. It may appear angry and growling. The person who encounters it may be very, very scared. But then in every instance, it just melts off into the field or the brush or whatever happens to be handy and leaves the person just afraid but unharmed.
Could it be a bear?
I think there's an off chance, You know, somebody else on another website, cryptozoology.com, put up a really nice little video of a black bear that was charging and making some similar movements. But what really struck me was that the bear's head was large in comparison to its body. And when it was charging, it was just there. And there's no mistaking that that was a big bear's head. In the Gable films, you can't really tell what this thing is. The head seems much smaller, and it's too blurry. I think that it could possibly be an older bear or one that's atrophied or really skinny or maybe has some mange, something. Maybe if it's there's something very wrong with it. You know, it's not a big, healthy, robust black bear. You know, if it's a bear, it's a skinny old one or something.
Have any of these films been analyzed or looked at by experts?
Yes. Steve Cook put together a group of experts called Mind Stage Productions that really went over this with a fine-tooth comb. And while he was in this process, he had been sharing this with me preliminarily because we've worked together kind of since 1992 when he first heard of the Beast in Bray Road and said, hey, this is what we've been talking about in Michigan, and started corresponding with me. So I was seeing these things early on and almost frame by frame as they would discover things. And they'd get to one part and it would appear that there was a tail coming out. There was another part where a frame showed what appeared to bizarrely be a human foot coming out from behind it.
Jeez.
And everybody went, okay, well, that's it. It's a hoax. It's a fake. You know, it's some guy with some kind of a crazy monkey suit on.
Yeah.
But then further analysis cast that into doubt, and they weren't sure if it wasn't a trick of light and shadow. You know, so this the film has been really spooky from the get-go, just in the way that you can't pin it down.
It is weird. It is weird indeed. Now, when you started your research back in when, 92?
It was the very beginning of 92.
What got you interested in all this, Linda?
Well, I've always had an interest in the kinds of things that appear on your show. you know, UFOs, and I had studied the paranormal and that sort of thing. And it really wasn't my idea to do the story. We had a freelancer who had heard these rumors in my own hometown that people were saying there was something that they were calling a werewolf out around Bray Road. And this person was kind of afraid to pursue it, and nobody else at the newspaper wanted to touch it. But I'm like, hey, yeah, I'll look into that. So, and I was very skeptical at first. You know, I really didn't think that this was going to pan out to be much, but this was the issue for the New Year's Eve evening, and it was a very slow news time, and the editor said, oh, you know, people will get a kick out of this. You know, we'll have some fun with it. Well, when I discovered that our county animal control officer actually had a manila file folder that he had marked werewolf because people were calling into him and saying, I saw this thing, and I don't know what else to call it, but if there was such a thing as a werewolf, this is what it would look like. So he didn't know what to call it either. So he had this legal file folder marked werewolf in this county office, and that made it official news right then.
Was anybody attacked at that point?
Not really. One young woman reported that it had bounded after her car and left some scratch marks on the rear bumper. And I saw the scratch marks, and, you know, it's almost impossible to say exactly what made them. They were consistent with something with two claws scratching down the blue paint on her bumper. But that was the closest to an attack. There were some younger children who were followed out on a nearby road called Bowers Road. They were walking home from ice skating and saw this thing, and it jumped up and started chasing them. And it easily could have overtaken them, but it didn't. Instead, it just gave them a good scare and then turned off.
Chasing them. See, when we get, like, you know, Bigfoot cases, Linda, I don't hear cases where they chase people.
Right.
They run the other way.
Exactly.
These seem pretty aggressive.
They are more aggressive than most of the Bigfoot reports that you get. You know, and I do get Bigfoot reports from around the same areas, which is kind of astonishing to think that they're both there. But you're right, George. They're different in that aggressive behavior. And they're also very different in appearance. You know, there's a certain camp that says, well, these are just long-snouted Bigfoot, which I don't buy at all, because anybody who gets a good look at them, not only do they behave differently, they have at the head of a canine, like a German Shepherd or a wolf, and their legs are canine. Anybody who sees the legs will say to me, well, you know, it ran or walked really easily on its hind legs,
yeah,
but the legs were bent backwards.
Yeah, clearly like a canine.
Exactly, exactly. So their hips are more tapered, you know, they're just built like a canine rather than the thick kind of Bigfoot build that people describe in the flat-footed walking motion that you see from Bigfoot. And the Bigfoot doesn't have the pointed ears on the head or the long snout. They're just very different animals.
When we hear werewolf stories, you know, we hear about the full moon,
right,
and a human being who shapeshifts completely to a wolf. We hear stories like that. Is that what we're talking about?
I don't think so. I really have not seen any evidence for that. And really, there have been only a few who've described some sort of morphing, and, you know, one then later admitted to me that it was a hoax. It was one that I never published because I had some suspicions about it. Another one actually seemed to be morphing from an ape to a wolf, more like is alleged with the Gable film. And other than that, really the only difference is in their behavior. And if you found a dead one, and I believe that people have, you would just think that you had a kind of an oddly shaped, perhaps large timber wolf or large dog. You know, it wouldn't be that different of a creature, but it doesn't seem to have any correlation with the full moon. I'm asked that very often. It does
you
not.
You don't hear a howl, right?
Well, not usually. The few people who have actually either seen it while it was making a sound or been pretty sure this is what they were being stalked by and heard the sound make a sound that to me sounds like a cappuccino maker, if you've ever heard one of those, you know, where it's kind of a growl.
It's got that bubbly sound to it.
Yeah, and it's very guttural and growling and variable in pitch.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Why Wisconsin? Though you mentioned other parts of this country, why Wisconsin?
That's a great question. Yeah, well,
they're chasing you, Linda.
I sure hope not. You know, I put myself in enough positions where if I was going to be chased, I perhaps could have been by now, and still maybe have seen a part of one, but I can't say for sure. But it's a great question. Part of it may be that with the just a matter of my actually being here, as you say, and it being publicized more in this state, there are more people who are aware of it, and so more people that contact me from this part of the country than any other part. But then there's Michigan. And while Wisconsin and Michigan do sort of seem to be the two states that are the hot spots that really have the most activity, although I can see concentrations of sightings that follow a trail along the Great Lakes all the way out to New York State, and then down in the southern states, down to Tennessee, Virginia, Kentucky, Georgia, down to Texas. The eastern half of the United States is the most active. But there's a strange correlation in both Wisconsin and Michigan that both states have these kind of weirdly unexplained ancient Native American formations, which you wouldn't think would have anything to do with monsters, except that I discovered that in Wisconsin, a certain type of animal-shaped effigy mound, as they are called, correlates almost exactly with hot spots of what I call man-wolf sightings. And in Michigan, we have the same thing with, they actually had these ancient features. Settlers called them garden beds because they were geometric, beautifully formed, garden-like shapes that reminded them of English gardens. Well, plantings put in rows or in circles or in just beautifully shaped diagrams. And both of these types of areas in both states happen to also be sightings hotspot.
We're going to talk more about these creatures, including some Native American legends, when we come back on Coast to Coast AM.
Ian Punnett filling in for me on tomorrow's Coast to Coast show because I'm going to be airborne for a while. And then I shall be right back on Monday for Coast to Coast AM. When we come back, we'll continue this incredible discussion about these creatures with Linda Godfrey right here on Coast to Coast AM. Linda, don't you get a lot of Bigfoot reports in Wisconsin as well?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And all over the state, not just in the northern parts. There's reported all around the southern part, too.
This creature, this upright canine-type creature, what's your take on it?
My take is, well, I'm sort of torn continually between two stances. One is that it's possibly some sort of either strangely adapted or just slightly changed timber wolf, because it really still looks mostly like that, that has managed to just adapt parts of its body and its behavior for this really kind of advantageous way of walking around and being able to carry your prey rather than having to drag it with your mouth.
Right.
And it being some sort of, I hate to use the word supernatural, you know, but it's probably...
Oh, go ahead.
Probably the one that comes most to mind. Maybe something more like sentient earth spirit or trans-dimensional visitor would be closer to most of my Native American friends' takes on it.
What are you discovering with Native American legend?
I'm discovering that every tribe or nation that I've either come across or have talked to personally says that they know about these things and that they were known to their grandfathers, and that means ancestors going way back.
Did they revere them? Did they
No.
chase them? What happened?
In most cases, they're pretty much something that you want to leave alone. Not necessarily that they're in living fear of them, although if you talk about skinwalkers in some of the Western tribes, that's a whole different thing. But most of the people that I've talked about, particularly in Wisconsin, the Ho-Chunk members that I've spoke with, because their ancestors were probably the ones that built the effigy mounds. So I really wanted to talk to them for a long time and was able to finally get an interview when I made that discovery of the mound sites matching the man-wolf sighting spots. And what the person, I was able to talk to an elder who's also an anthropologist, and was told that these creatures, in their belief, along with Bigfoot, are spirit creatures or transdimensional creatures who can travel back and forth between worlds. When they're here, they are fully corporeal. They need to eat for energy. They leave tracks. If you reach out and touch them, you're going to feel something, and they're going to smell bad probably. But when they want to get back to the other world or the other dimension, they know where the portals are, and they can travel back and forth. And that's why you don't find dead Bigfoot. That's why you don't catch them. That's why they always seem to just sort of melt out of view.
Interesting. Interesting indeed. Are they being investigated by science up that way?
Are the creatures
yeah.
investigated by science? Well, it's tough when you really don't have a lot to investigate. I've managed to photograph footprints the few times I've had casting material. It hasn't been a good medium for holding a print well, either in mulch or something like that. Although I've taken a pretty good photo of what looks like a very enlarged, elongated wolf print that happened to be in South Milwaukee, not too far from Lake Michigan. And I've had people send me very similar prints. And the gentleman who encountered one close up in the Georgia swamp and then went back to the scene of the crime a few days later and found very good prints in the sand drew a sketch of exactly the same thing. So we do have these footprints to go by. The closest we've come, I think, to using a scientific method was probably for the History Channel Monster Quest show that was based on my book, Hunting the American Werewolf.
Tell me about that.
Well, this was a really novel approach, and I really applaud their method. They said, just round up as many of the witnesses as you can. We will bring in a cutting-edge polygraph expert, and we will just put them all to the test, to the lie detector test. And I was a little nervous asking some of these witnesses, George, because, you know, you don't want to imply to people that you think they might be lying.
Right.
But every single one of them said, give me the test. I don't care. Whatever it is, I'll take it because I know what I saw. And every single one of them passed. And there were several more that passed it than we had room or time for on the show. So it's even more impressive than it appears on the show. And that doesn't tell you for certain what they saw, but it tells you that they believe they saw what they said.
The fact that let me rephrase this, because this creature is, you know, I heard a little bit about this when I was a kid growing up in Michigan as well.
Really?
And that means these things have been going on for a long time. Now, beyond Native American myth, of course, in terms of modern times, they've been going on. How many reports do you get?
Well, you know, I still get 1 to 3 a week.
That's a lot.
So it's a huge amount. It's a huge, and they're not all equal, you know, and they're not all just very recent. Sometimes people will write, and they'll just have seen one of my books, and it's jogged their memory of something that happened 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago. But, yeah, it's running up into the hundreds. I've lost count. I really have. I've got many very thick file folders, and they come in all the time. In fact, I've just recently started putting them on Twitter because it seemed to me that way I could give people just this past week, as a matter of fact. I've just begun. That way I can give a real quick recap, and people can get some idea in real time what's coming in from where. And yet I don't have the time-consuming thing. You know, it takes too long to investigate each one of them to put a full report out every time I get one. It's just simply beyond my capabilities.
All right, what are the possibilities of somebody running around a prankster in a costume?
Not
smart, by the way. Not
Pardon?
Smart. Not smart.
No, it's really stupid.
Somebody's going to take a shot at him.
Exactly, and that has happened. I go through an incident in another state in my Hunting the American Werewolf book about just that exact same scenario. Somebody thought they'd be funny and do that. And actually, it has happened in at least 3 instances on Bray Road. They were all after the main sightings flap, so I don't believe that you could say that any one of them caused that. But one was teenage boys wearing a werewolf mask. One was a farmer that I know of that was sick of teenagers parking on his land, and so he rented a gorilla suit. And
the old scarecrow routine, right?
Yeah, the old, you know, scare the parking teens. And then the other one was actually someone who was an elected official in Walworth County who thought it would be funny to go out there in a bear suit and pop out from the corn. But he only did it once because he also suddenly realized that some of these people could have guns.
Absolutely. And you know what? What do you think it would be? Manslaughter? It's not murder. They didn't know. If somebody takes a shot at one of these things, can't they say, look, I feared for my life. This thing was coming at me. I didn't know it was some guy in a costume. What would happen to them?
Well, I think they'd have to make a really good case for self-defense that it was really actually attacking them. You know, and it would just really depend on the incident. But
well, I think, if a bear is in the woods,
right,
and you shoot it, you know, I'm not a hunter, but if you shoot it, I don't think anybody's going to convict you unless, you know, it's an illegal gaming thing.
Well, yeah, if it appears that you're shooting it in defense of your own life.
Yeah, you're afraid for your own safety.
Right. You might have a little more trouble with a wolf because they, again, have been put on the protected species list in this state. And so you'd really have to prove that it was going to kill you and that you thought that it was a wolf that was going to kill you to get away from it. But yeah, the implications are just sort of horrendous there.
But I mean, clearly, if somebody's in a costume, they're the ones that are taking the risk here.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because they could just get their head blown off.
Absolutely.
And I've seen people on Bray Road dressed in camouflage, obviously from elsewhere, because nobody from around here would do that, just sort of wandering and looking like they have weapons. And I continually tell people, look, guys, this is not the wilderness. You know, this is not some open season park where you can come and expect it. And actually, it really, for a long time, it stopped being seen after, about 1994 or so. I really didn't get many reports at all for about 10 years. And then it started showing up again in 2004. I've got an encounter in my Strange Wisconsin book that was pretty good. And then I've started getting them 2007, 2008, just occasionally, but not hot and heavy like it was back in 1992. So for a long time, really, the pickings were very slim. And can you blame the creature when the road is just crawling with people in camo and carloads of people cruising up and down the street late at night?
Has Hollywood been the ones to romanticize werewolves and Draculas, vampires, and things like that? Do you think?
Definitely.
Yeah, they're the ones that have made this sound so romantic.
Well, yeah, and it gets more and more that way. You know, when you've got that famous Twilight series where the heroine is, I think in the second book and movie, romancing a werewolf, and it goes even, you know, Buffy, the series Buffy, which I absolutely loved, had Willow, her boyfriend was a werewolf, and it goes through Teen Wolf, and then you trace it all the way back to Lon Chaney, you know, sort of the agonized, tortured human. And really, those first werewolf movies that came out with Lon Chaney,
they were the classics.
Yeah, they're the classics, and they're the ones, you know, who took the actual old gypsy curse, and they put in all the things about the silver bullets and the full moon and stuff that you might have found here or there in European folklore, but it really had not been codified into this werewolf supernatural lore that Hollywood made it into.
If you came upon one of these creatures, the truly canine creatures, looked somewhat human, but it wasn't, what would you do? Would you sit there, take pictures? I'm sure you'd have a camera. Or would you head for the hills?
I guess it would depend on how safe I felt from it if I were in a vehicle.
Well, they're aggressive. They do attack, you said.
Yeah, they do come at people. And I imagine that I'd probably react like most people, which is if they have the chance, they want to get the heck out of there. People, even people who are in a vehicle, and I'm thinking of one man who saw it north of Milwaukee in fall of 2007, and he was working for the DNR, contracted to pick up dead deer, and had one of these things steal the deer right out of the back of his pickup truck. And he's an experienced outdoorsman.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was quite the scenario, I tell you. And he's stands over 6 feet tall. He's an experienced outdoorsman, knows bear, knows wolf, and he realized this thing was standing up at the back of the pickup truck, tall enough that its face clearly showed in his big truck side mirror. He was sitting in his cab writing up a report, and it rocked the truck twice, and then pulled the deer out and also pulled out his aluminum ATV ramp. And when he realized that it was something he could not identify but was a very large, aggressive predator, his, you know, flight response just took over, and he floored it. And he said he went for about 2 miles before he even thought of stopping.
Tell me about your Twitter feed and some of the comments you're getting.
Well, as I said, it's really literally only been days.
Days. And how do they find you?
But they can just look for Linda Godfrey, all written together as one word. I have had some people join. My friend Javier Ortega at Ghost Theory has been bringing some people on board. And also this other website that was put up just to feature the Gable films, the second, particularly the second one, I have to kind of give a shout-out to, because he is the one that actually has been corresponding with the YouTube poster. And he's got a site completely devoted to this that he put up in no time, which is wildlegends.webs.com. So I've been getting a lot of interest in the Twitter feed right away from this Gable flap that's been going on.
That technology is incredible, Linda.
It's amazing.
It makes all of this so easy. It really does.
It really connects the dots. In a way that I don't think would have been possible, before. It just makes it possible for everybody to know about all the other sightings and to find me easily.
What are the odds that there's a giant gorilla out there in the wild just got loose. Somebody had it maybe as a pet, and it grew up and out.
A giant gorilla?
Yeah.
Well,
not a King Kong type, but a
right.
big one.
I think that that would be more likely to explain some Bigfoot sightings.
Could be.
I don't think that...
You would say that these are two distinctive-looking creatures. It's obvious to people, right? Because I think if most people, Linda, saw a creature in the wild like this from a distance, first thing you'd think, Bigfoot?
Yes. Yeah, and most of them think that, and then they realize if they're close enough to have a clear look at the head or the feet. I do get reports where I can't tell what they were, which one it was, because all they saw is a dark streak in the woods, running upright. And if they haven't seen the canine-type legs and they haven't seen the canine-type head, they're often not sure. But when they see that, there's no doubt in their mind. And the witnesses I talked to, most of them that have had a good look, are just happy to declare, yes, it was a Bigfoot, or yes, it was a man-wolf. I know what I saw.
Hmm. I love these creatures.
They're amazing. And many of them draw sketches for me, too, which is also very helpful.
Are they weird-looking sketches?
Well, most of the witnesses are not accomplished artists. And to me, that only speaks to their authenticity.
True. True. How about little kids? Have they seen this?
Oh, yes. Yeah, in fact, one of the first reported sightings back in 92 was a group of junior high kids who, I think I mentioned this earlier, were on a skating expedition and just trudging home, farm kids, lived out in the country.
Yeah.
And they saw this thing crouching by a stream and thought it was a dog, and being kids, ran to pet it, and then the so-called dogs stood up and began chasing them. And they were telling it around school, and one of my sons happened to be in middle school with them at the same time, and he said, Mom, I know these guys, and they're not lying about it.
Has anybody found canine prints but just the back feet, not the two front ones?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's weird.
That is really, prime evidence, the best evidence that we have. I have them from a nature preserve around Williams Bay, the ones I found around South Milwaukee, where this creature had been chasing four people, I believe, at the time, and then just veered off into the cornfield. And that was one of the rare times where I was able to get there, like within a few days, when there was still a chance of finding some evidence. And this footprint was found not on the road where they were being chased, but in a little side area that I decided to look at, and found a mud hole where you could also see other animal prints. You could see where it looked like it surprised a deer. There were clear deer prints where you could see the deer's hind legs had dug into the mud as it sprang away. And then there were also canine prints from what looked like a different animal.
But if this creature wanted to catch people, it could catch them.
I believe so, yes. Right, and it just doesn't seem to. The only incident that I have had reported to me was a gentleman from up in Quebec, Canada, who was out in the wilderness and encountered this thing and was just actually defenseless. He didn't have a gun. He was camping. And it lunged at him, which is unusual behavior. But it grazed his hip, and he sent me a picture of the scar, and I've got that scar up on my beastofbrayroad.com website. And it looks jagged. He went to the hospital, and he told them that it was a bear because he didn't want to say what it really was. And it looks like a jagged scar that would be left from something like an uneven tooth. It's impossible to prove it, of course, from the picture. But I maintain that anything like that, if it had really wanted him, it would have gone for the gut, and he wouldn't live to have his picture taken of it.
Well, that's a good point, too. But why admit that? People would laugh at him, scoff, everything else.
Right, exactly. But that's the only human injury that I've had personally reported to me.
If people see one of these things, what do you suggest they do?
Well, if they're in a safe place and they've got a camera, please take a picture or a movie. I'd love to see something other than Bob Squatch.
Absolutely. When we come back, we're going to do something differently tonight. Next hour, questions with Linda Godfrey about what you've been hearing, the Beast of Bray Road and these American werewolves. And then in the last hour with Linda, I want your creature stories. We'll be back.